Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Good to have those of you that are visiting. We've got several visitors with us, and we're glad that you're here. Hope you can come back and be with us at any time. Appreciate Rex singing those songs this morning. They go very well with the lessons that we've been doing, in particular the lesson that we have today. As was noted, we've been doing a series concerning the work of elders and deacons, and this lesson is planned to conclude the series that I have. It's been very easy for me the last few months to decide what I was going to preach on because I already knew. Now I'm going to have to start thinking again about what I'm going to do next week. Have to do another series. But what we want to talk about this week is what sheep should say to their shepherds. Last week we talked about shepherds using the 23rd Psalm and learned the shepherd's role in the congregation is to lead and to feed and protect and to restore the sheep. We've also looked in the past several weeks at some terms that are used to describe elders and what the work of elders is to be and the qualifications of those that are to serve in that capacity. So since we looked at shepherds last week, I think we should balance that out today by looking at the sheep. The shepherds have significant responsibilities, and it's a very grave responsibility and one that should be taken very seriously. But the sheep also have responsibilities as well. And the lesson this morning, the points I'm going to make are taken from a lesson from Bill Hall. Some of you are familiar with Bill Hall. He preached here many years ago. Right after I started attending here, we had Bill Hall for a meeting. I remember in particular being with him and his wife Charlotte, who's since passed away, being over at Edith and Prince Schott's house, because Bill went on and on about the red velvet cake that Edith made. And some of you probably remember her making that, and it was something to go on and on about. But we had good conversations with him, and I remember he being very encouraging to me as an evangelist. And he has presented several lessons in different places on the role of elders. And so the points that I have in this lesson are taken from a lesson that he presented, and I want to share those with you this morning. Sometimes when we look at the role of shepherds, we get things out of balance a little bit. And I know that since here at Elliottsville, we have not had elders in the past, and those that have been at this congregation for a long time really don't have a reference point to know how a congregation functions under elders. But sometimes congregations function very, very well under the leadership of elders, just as God planned. And sometimes there are challenges in those roles between shepherds and sheep as well. And it's usually because somebody is not performing what they ought to be doing. And so we all understand, I hope, from the lessons that we've gone through, that this is God's plan to have churches organized in this way and have men who are qualified to serve in those ways and to have a congregation that is at peace with that. And we need to understand those things. We all understand, I hope, as Christians, that we are all responsible for ourselves. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, "Even if these three men, Noah, David, and Job, were in it, they would deliver but their own lives by their righteousness, declares the Lord God." What that's saying is that everybody's responsible for themselves, and that you're not going to be saved by Noah, Daniel, or Job. And if you go on to verse 20, it says, "Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, declares the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver but their own lives by their righteousness." So what this is saying is a congregation that has shepherds or elders, people are not going to go to heaven based on their elders or shepherds. They're going to go to heaven based on what they do and what their relationship is with God. We won't go to heaven based on our mothers and fathers. We won't go to heaven based on our grandparents or what our last name is. If we go to heaven, it's going to be because of our righteousness. elders have a responsibility to lead in righteousness and help us go to heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 20 says, regarding elders, for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. This tells us that elders are not perfect. Sometimes they need to be rebuked. But what I have noticed in some places that my family has lived is that there are self-appointed people that oversee the overseers. And they want to make sure that the elders are rebuked at every opportunity that they can be rebuked. And that, you know, sometimes they need to be rebuked, as Paul told Timothy. But I fear that sometimes people take that responsibility to hold the shepherds accountable that they put themselves over that. And I know of a couple of cases of that. So that's something to be aware of. That's not to say that we would never talk to an overseer or elder about issues or voice a concern where we think that something may be missing. But what I'm saying is that they are shepherds. In a congregation that has shepherds, there are sheep and there are shepherds, and sometimes the sheep may want to lead the shepherds instead of the shepherd leading the sheep. And so that's a baseline that we need to understand when we talk about these things. The sheep's job is not to lead the shepherd or prod the shepherd on, but vice versa. And so when we look at the qualifications of elders and we select men as elders, and we become part of a congregation that already has elders, there are responsibilities that we have. In fact, I've been part of several congregations that have elders, and the elders generally would meet with those who want to be a part of the congregation, say, here's what we do at this congregation, and you would have a choice as a prospective member. Can you submit yourself to this leadership? Do these men fit the qualifications of what God has laid out? And so are you going to submit yourself to their leadership? And if you become part of that, then you need to submit yourself to it. So that's the first thing that we know. What should sheep say to their shepherds? That we are selecting you as overseers, or you're already overseers, and I'm willing to place myself under you as a member of this congregation. You are the shepherd, I'm the sheep. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Titus chapter 1 verse 7, an overseer is God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant, quick-tempered, or a drunkard, greedy, or violent, or greedy for gain. So Paul calls the elders overseers. As we've mentioned before, some translations use the word bishop. The word that's translated this way is episkopos, which means a watcher over. I think that's a great term that we think about when we think about the responsibility of an elder. Several of us here in this congregation were band nerds. Not everybody that was in band was a nerd, I guess, but that's what we get labeled with, I guess, whether it's fair or not. But one of the things that you note when you're in band is usually there's a crow's nest. There's a tower that the band director or the drum major will stand in, you know, during a performance, or especially during rehearsals. Why do they do that? Because when they're at the field level, they can't see everything. And when they get up in the tower, they can see the formations and they can hear better. And so one of the things that we're taught by those that are up in the tower is how to march, you know, how your marching looks. And they can look down to see where people are, so they could see if Randy was out of step or not, and correct us when we needed it. So, you know, that they were overseers, right? The drum major was an overseer. And if shepherds are overseers, what does that imply? Well, there's those that are being watched. And that shouldn't be anything that unnerves us. And in fact, I've used this illustration before because it was a song that scared me to death growing up, the all-seeing eye watching you, and I felt like this big eye was floating around, and it was like the pictures in the Haunted Mansion at Disney World that looks like the eyes are following you wherever you go. Y'all see that. next week. So anyway, the eye looks like it's looks like it's following you, and that unnerved me. But then somebody told me after I used that illustration, Randy, that all-seeing eye can be a comforting thing too. When you think about God watching you, it depends on the way that you're living as to whether or not that watchful eye looking out for you or watching you at all times, it can be unnerving and frightening, or it can be a great blessing. And so when we think about placing ourselves under elders and they are watching out for us, is that something that unnerves us, or is it something that gives us comfort because we know that somebody is watching out for us spiritually that wants to help us? And I hope it's the latter that we think about when we think about overseers, that they are watching over us. And so if we appoint men as bishops or overseers, we're agreeing to allow them to watch us, and that we're going to submit to their watchful eyes. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." So Acts tells us that the shepherds are to pay careful attention to us because who's made them overseers? You're not the congregation, but the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. So we need to think about that Paul didn't say the congregation made them overseers, but the Holy Spirit made them overseers because they were qualified and appointed in the way that God would have that to happen. And of course, the way that happened, the way that these overseers became overseers, is because people submitted to the Holy Spirit. They submitted to the will of God that was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So congregations that have overseers, they're looking at what the Holy Spirit has revealed as being the qualifications of these men. They appoint them, and then they submit themselves to those elders who are paying careful attention and being watchful because the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, because it was all according to the will of God. So we are under them because God made them shepherds. And we submit to that. The next thing that sheep should say to their shepherds is, "We're choosing you to be our shepherds and we'll follow you as long as you lead where the chief shepherd leads." And certainly that's a baseline and a foundation for us as Christians, that we're always going to follow the will of God rather than the will of men. In John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, John presents a great picture of shepherding. He says, "To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, and when they hear that voice, they follow him. It's a beautiful picture of how we follow Christ, because he is the chief shepherd. But it's also true of congregational shepherds, that when congregations that have elders hear the voice of their shepherds, that they need to follow as long as they are following the chief shepherd. And that certainly implies that the elders are leading, because you can't follow somebody who's not really leading. But sometimes there's an issue with sheep not really wanting to follow. A physical sheep could dig its little hooves into the earth and buck against the authority of the shepherd, or decide that I don't want to go where the shepherd tells me to go. I want to go somewhere else. And spiritually, that's not the way that we should be. And unfortunately, sometimes that's what happens in congregations. Is there are those that don't want to go where the shepherd leads. The shepherd obviously needs to submit to the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter said, "We must obey God rather than men." And so, if shepherds want to lead in a direction that's contrary to the chief shepherd, then you don't follow that. But there's a big difference in leading in a direction that's contrary to the chief shepherd and not wanting to go where they're going, if that makes sense. That you have a difference of opinion in the way that something ought to be done. In fact, I'll just give an example. When my father was in one place, without going into a whole lot of detail, the treasurer decided on his own that the way that they were paying the preacher, he thought was not right, and it was against some kind of tax law. And it wasn't. He wasn't an accountant. He didn't know what he was talking about, but he had it in his mind that there was something wrong with that, and he went to the elders, and they said, no, that's not right. Here's the tax law. This is all okay. And he didn't accept that answer, and he wrote a letter to all the congregation accusing the elders of doing some things wrong with the financing. So it just created a big mess. And so he has a difference of opinion on how this money matter needs to be taken care of, and he did not submit to the elders' leadership on that and caused a problem. And so, yeah, if they were doing something illegal and that could have been proven, that would be different, and he should have brought an accusation to the congregation. But he brought an accusation that wasn't true and got people stirred up about something that shouldn't have happened. So what I'm saying here is that we follow the shepherd as long as the shepherd is following the chief shepherd. But if we have a difference of opinion, go back to point number one. We're selecting you as overseers, and we're willing to place ourselves under you. So that means that you're going to submit to that leadership when there's a matter of opinion. The next point that Mr. Hall made, I want to back up just one second. I have one other example of that point. Because this is one that Bill Hall made. And he said that he remembered having lunch with an elder from another congregation. And while they were having lunch, he received a phone call from one of the other elder received a phone call from one of the members of the congregation who was teaching a class. And this teacher was telling the elder that he was not going to teach the curriculum that they had for the junior high class because he didn't like it. And Brother Hall said, well, he listened to the elder to see how that conversation was going to go. And the elder told him that, you know, you're not under any obligation to teach. And if you don't want to teach the class, you know, we'll take you off the list. But if you're going to teach, you need to teach the curriculum that we've decided on. And so that was a case not where the sheep had decided they're not following the chief shepherd. They're teaching something that shouldn't be taught. Now, that wasn't the case. It was a case of a sheep not wanting to follow because the sheep believed that the shepherds were doing something that they didn't like, or they had a different opinion or had a different choice. And so that was an interesting example, I thought, of this very point. That you follow the chief shepherd and you follow the local shepherd as long as the local shepherd is following the chief shepherd. Another point that Mr. Hall made is we will not listen to an accusation against you except by the mouth of two or three witnesses. This is taught to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Of course, Timothy was a young man. He was a young preacher. Timothy would not have been an elder himself. So he's in the role of an evangelist. And many times evangelists find themselves in situations when they go to a congregation and we moved around a little bit when I was growing up. My dad stayed at congregations between, you know, 5, 7, 11 years. And he usually made that decision himself. I don't think he was ever asked to leave anywhere. But he if he felt like he wasn't being effective, he would move on somewhere else. But what would happen in just about every place that you go as an evangelist is is the first thing that happens is brethren start politicking with the evangelist and start telling my dad what's wrong with each one of the elders. You know, and so Timothy is getting some of this from Paul. Paul is telling Timothy, don't receive an accusation against the elders unless there's evidence of two or three witnesses. So, you know, that really does happen, that groups of sheep that don't want to follow the elders or one of the elders, they start vying for Timothy's ear. And Paul says, Timothy, don't listen to it. And it's, you know, it's unscriptural. So Paul tells Timothy, don't listen to it. Don't even let them bring it to you. Don't receive it. And so this is a principle for all of us, even though it was written to Timothy. And, you know, in general, we should all have the attitude that we're not going to listen to gossip. You know, this is not just instruction that we should follow in regard to elders, but we should not be, you know, listening to gossip. Sometimes we want to listen to it, and we have an open ear to it, and so we enable that. And it doesn't mean that we'll just go ahead and hear it and then decide not to do anything with it. What Paul tells Timothy is don't even receive it. Don't listen to it. Don't accept it. Yes, if there are two or three witnesses, then you need to go to the shepherd. If the report is true and the shepherd persists in sin, refusing to repent, then you need to rebuke him before the entire congregation. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. So there is a procedure there to take care of that. But don't listen to gossip. Don't listen to what this one person says. If there's two or three that corroborate on something, then you need to start looking into that. But don't listen to an accusation if it only comes from one source. And I can tell you that happens many, many times that the elders receive much criticism that a lot of times is not fair. Another thing that sheep ought to say to shepherds is you can count on us to cooperate with you in anything that is lawful. We've already, you know, mentioned that briefly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So what God has given us is our roles that equip us for the work of ministry. And the job is to build us up and to provide us with training so that we can minister to one another and spread the gospel to each other and outside of these walls. And so that means that each one of us has a part in the work. And shepherds, when they are doing what they should do, they challenge, they equip, they have a responsibility to work and to teach others to work. And by selecting men as elders, we agree in the work that they establish for us and in the encouragement of that work. And you know, one of the greatest discouragements that I've heard from those that are elders is that people are very quick to want to meet with the elders when they have something to complain about or have a concern. But hardly ever does anybody come to the eldership and say, what kind of work can I do? I want to get busy. I want to do some work. What can I do to help the work of the congregation here? And, you know, it's just like when you're on the job and you only hear from your boss when you did something wrong. It's that kind of thing. You know, well, what about all the things that I'm doing right? Sometimes we only hear the negative, and sometimes that's what happens with leadership positions. But what a blessing it would be for an eldership if brethren came to them and said, you know, I've got some time. I've got some things that I want to do. I feel like I have some talents in some different areas. I can be a teacher. I can be useful. And then the elders can put them to work in doing the work of the church. What a joy it would be to an elder if that kind of situation existed, instead of the only time that a brother or sister would come to them is when there's a concern or a complaint or something to be voiced. So that's something that sheep should say to shepherds, is you can count on us to cooperate enthusiastically with anything that is lawful. And we will conduct ourselves so that you can do your work without groaning. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are watching out for your soul," or keeping watch over your souls, "as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." So the Hebrew writer says that we need to remember that our shepherds are watching over us. Why? Because they are going to give an account of us when they stand before God in judgment. Their responsibility is to be watchful, and the sheep's responsibility is to let them do that with joy and not with groaning, and to make it easy for them as possible and joyous. And how can we do that? Well, we can do that by working on our growth. What would make parents happy in the home is if and I know this is just truly hypothetical, but if a child came to you and says, "What can I do for you today?" You know, everybody's laughing. "What can I do for you? I've got some time on my hands, Mom and Dad. Is there something that I can do? Is there some yard work I can do? Is there anything in the house that I can do to make your life easier?" And so when it comes to eldership in a congregation, hopefully that's not too hypothetical, that this would never happen, that the brothers and sisters would want to work, and they would want to cooperate and do this by following God's will. And we do that by listening when leadership leads, and we follow where they lead and submit and not challenge that authority. And that's what makes leadership work. And so Hebrews 13 tells us that we need to submit to them because they're doing a job and keeping watch over your souls. Also, we need to pray. "We will pray for you and be understanding as you grow in your work of shepherding. We need to pray for one another, and certainly we need to pray for those who are in leadership positions. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we've gone through these qualifications before. That an overseer must be above reproach, husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-control, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, must manage his own household well. And as we've said before, when we look at those qualifications, it doesn't mean that they are 100% absolutely perfect people in every one of these regards. They are going to grow. Elders are not perfect people, and they are growing just like we are. And that's the point of the passage that was read this morning, in 2 Peter chapter 1. The things that we put on, your faith, virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and so on, that Christians are going to grow in these characteristics. So understand that overseers or elders are growing just like everybody else is growing. But they have reached a certain level of maturity to be considered for this role in the church. That means that sheep need to be understanding as shepherds grow and recognize that they are going to grow as well. Paul many times requested prayers for himself as he preached the gospel of Christ. And shepherds and leaders in the church need prayers as well, so that they have the courage and boldness to do what needs to be done, and the leadership and those leadership abilities grow. Finally, if you need to talk to me about anything, I will agree to talk and set up a suitable time to talk, because I know that's an integral part of your responsibility as a shepherd. I know that's a very long point. But it's a very interesting one. There's something about being labeled as a preacher that or an elder that makes people not want to talk to you at times. If I called you up on the phone, for example, or if you were at a congregation that had elders, and I said, "Jason, I want to come over and see you Monday night and talk for a while." What would Jason be thinking? I wonder what he wants. He doesn't ever do this. And I can remember one time after Jarrell and I got married, the elders called and wanted to come and talk to us. And, of course, it went through our head. What do they want to talk to us about? What do we do? And all it was is that we were new members of their congregation, and they wanted to get to know us because how are they going to be able to lead the sheep that they don't know? And that's all that it was. And so, you know, we've put up a barrier because, oh, well, these people want to talk to us. No, they were doing exactly what they needed to do. And so sheep need to be willing to talk to the shepherds. And when the shepherds come calling, the sheep often start packing their bags and want to head the other direction. So we need to understand that if the shepherds are going to lead us, then they need to know us. If they call us up and want to set up a meeting, instead of trying to avoid that somehow, we need to work with that. And certainly in congregations that have good elders, the elders are working at getting to know the members so that they know their needs. And because that's really the only effective way that you can lead is to know one another. And this is really part of the earlier statement about that we're willing to submit to the elders and cooperate with them. And if the elder's job is to give sound instruction, then we need to be willing to accept an instruction. And when an elder starts calling you, don't run away from it, but receive that instruction. Another thing that's very closely related to this is in James chapter 5 and verse 14, where it talks about if you're sick, you call for the elders. And so, brethren need to call for the elders, not wait for the elders to call them. It's interesting that passage says that when you're in need, you call them. And so there's a two-way relationship there, that the elders are going to be involved with you, and you need to make an effort to be involved with them. The last point is that we will respect you and the leadership that you provide. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account." So it says that we need to remember those who lead and take note of that. That means that we show respect to those in that role. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says that those who rule well are worthy of double honor. 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." So these are some really good questions and statements that sheep should make toward the leadership. And I hope the things that we've discussed in the past several weeks have been comprehensive enough that we understand that this is important subject, and that there's responsibility on both sides in this subject, that there are qualifications that need to be honored in God's word, and those that serve in that capacity have a serious responsibility. But there's also a serious responsibility on the other side of that as well. It all works together according to God's plan. And when both leadership and those in the congregation are following God's plan, everything works the way that it should. And the end result is that we all grow. We grow spiritually, and we are more successful in evangelizing both those within our congregation and those without, and ultimately help each other go to heaven for eternity. I hope these things are useful to you. If you're not a member of the Lord's church because you have not ever been submissive to the Good Shepherd, then you need to do that. Be part of his family by being buried in baptism and arising to walk a new life. If we can help you do that in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and we always feel